This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, ends off. Yes! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again, back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots travel to the Great Northwest to take on Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Paul Perillo, Andy Hart here on Patriots.com. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, taking you up to Patriots and Seahawks 4:05 kickoff from Seattle. Guys, I have a scoop on this game. I don't know if you've heard this anywhere else. I hear the CenturyLink field is relatively loud. I hear it can get pretty noisy up there.
I've heard that somewhere. They even tracked false start penalties.
On the scoreboard?
Yes.
I've heard that as well. You've done similar investigative
work. Two per game.
As myself.
That's amazing.
So I guess the question is,
when is this guy going to jump out of the damn pod? He's 7,000 feet past his mark.
So for our listeners who aren't aware, Andy Hart, much more locked into the space jump than he is some of these 1 o'clock.
Guy's at 127,700 feet. He did put his dark shield down though, and I think he's considering jumping.
He cannot take his eyes off the screen.
How do you not find this fascinating?
Nothing changes.
He's also considering abort mission.
The only thing that changes, you realize, is that number ticking up and the meters. Like, the video doesn't change at all.
He put his black shield down. He had a clear... he went into, beast mode or something.
It's literally a guy sitting in a cockpit, and then they show, like, the
he's gonna
the parachute
jump.
every 2 minutes. That's all they're showing.
Balloon. It's a balloon. It's carrying him up.
Well, we'll keep you up to speed on that
He's checking his mirror.
As well as some of these 1 o'clock games. But I ask you, how big of a factor is this noise in actuality?
I think it's a major factor. It'll be interesting to see how the teams handle it because, you know, Pete Carroll was kind of daring the Patriots to continue to go hurry up, no huddle, saying, you know, I don't think they'll do it without crowd, but we're going to be ready to go. And I think the Patriots will. I don't think they're not going to do it. Maybe not as much. Maybe it'll be a little different. But, you know, all this stuff, if you're really running a one-word play, it's not that hard to communicate all the way out. You know, it's kind of just spreads from the center. Brady says it, the offensive line says it, the tight ends say it, the wide receivers say it, and everybody's got it. It's one play. I don't think, especially if they can run the football, which I know is in question against this defense averaging 66 yards a game on the ground that they allow. But, you know, if you're running the football and just coming to the line, I think they'll do some of that. Now, if it doesn't work, I think they might bail out of it pretty quickly because you certainly don't want the crowd to get more into it. You know, oh, great, we ran three plays in 30 seconds and now we're punting. If anything's going to fuel a crowd, it's going to be that. But I don't think the Patriots are going to take themselves out of their game plan simply because, oh, it's supposed to be loud.
Yeah, and the other part of that is I think the Patriots have had a lot of big games on the road, you know, in tough situations. And, you know, situations that are tougher than this. So we got our first shrug of the week from
Matt LePan behind the glass.
From our fill-in producer.
Strange noises, and what does he do?
Shrug.
It goes away eventually.
He's like an IT guy.
So I do.
Press reset.
I agree with Andy. I think that you're going to see, you know, I don't think you'll see maybe the tempo that we saw last week, but I do think you'll see some no huddle and some hurry up and some different things. Okay. I don't think that they'll let the environment, and by the way, I'm one of the few that I don't think it's overrated. I think that in terms of an outdoor crowd in Seattle, well, I think it's legit.
And that's fine. I've heard some of this during the week, though, that, well, the Patriots went up there in 2008 and it was a close game. Well, they didn't have Tom Brady in that game. So I think
they had an offense that was playing at a very, very high level at that time.
I think citing that game, I don't know, as a reason why the Patriots will struggle, I don't see a ton of parallels there.
No. Struggle.
But if the noise rattled Matt Castle, like, that's one thing to me. The noise rattling Tom Brady in this offense, I don't know, I think it's different. By the way, they went into M&T Bank Stadium, which is supposedly a hostile environment and a loud stadium and a difficult place to play and communicate and all these things, and they hung 30 plus on the Ravens. So I think it's a little overrated, but Paul, you see it differently. Actually, and we'll see how that
30, right?
Well, see, here's the thing is.
Was it 30? Was it 31-30?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking if they'd hung 30 plus, they would have won.
30 plus sounded better. 30, whatever
point,
it was.
My point isn't that it's not overrated. That means Seattle's going to win the game.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's any comparison between the talent levels of the two teams. I think the crowd might allow the game to be a little bit closer than it might normally have been, certainly if the game were played here in Foxborough. I think we could skip the next 2 hours if this game was in Foxborough and just say, as long as the Patriots arrive safely today in Foxborough, we don't have anything else to analyze.
And then just how watch the guy jump out of the pod.
That's right. How much of a difference I think the talent level is for these two teams. And I know the NFC West is to be taken seriously nowadays. I ain't buying the NFC West other than San Francisco.
So let's focus in on some of these Patriots players, because I think fans are looking for the roles out of, I don't know, maybe four different guys on the field here today, given some of the circumstances over the week. Let's start with Wes Welker. What do we see his role being today?
I think his role will be what it's been the last few weeks. I mean, to me, if you want to be your best offense, Wes Welker is at the center of it. He's going to be catching 10 balls for 100 yards, and everything else is kind of an offshoot of that. Certainly for a team, in my opinion, that you could attack in the middle of the field, and you can maybe take advantage of some of their aggressive play with some screens and different things. I think Wes Welker should very much be involved with this offense each and every week as long as he is in a Patriots uniform, and I think anything else is not the Patriots at their best.
And you talk about a great way to neutralize any kind of crowd noise. You know, what would be more frustrating for a fan base that's looking to get all excited on a third down than, you know, Brady getting a shotgun snap, the ball's out of his hands in 1.2 seconds, and Welker's catching a 6-yard pass on 3rd and 4.
And jumping up and doing one of those first downs he likes to do.
I mean, how many times have we seen it? I mean, it's almost impossible to stop. And, you know, the last thing that Andy just said right there, I don't know how you can get around that. Anytime he's healthy and not a central part of the offense, to me, makes no sense at all. He's shown that over the last month.
Well, and even his comment after last week's win aside on Comcast, you know, there's a chance that he could have been out of his role or at least the amount of targets and snaps that we'd seen just given the return of Aaron Hernandez. So how does that impact Welker if Hernandez, as the Globe has reported and as I think we've all expected, will be out on the field and playing regardless of the amount of snaps today?
Well, I didn't expect it, and I am still dubious.
You don't think he's going to play?
I mean, maybe the Globe has a good source and maybe he'll play. I just find it strange that he doesn't practice on Friday and then he's going to play on Sunday.
But he practiced the five practices before that.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was five, but
yeah, I don't think it was five.
Did he not practice on Friday?
He practiced two out of the three times last week and two out of the three times
this
week.
Okay, so four in a row. Yeah.
But why didn't he practice on Friday? That would be my first question. If he's so ramping up to return to the field, okay, it was a wet field. Were you worried he was going to slip? It's going to be a wet field today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll still be surprised if he's out there. I still think there would have been value to bringing him, keeping the Seattle on their toes. And I don't know if people are making assumptions based on the fact that he traveled, but I still would like to see him step on the field before I assume, okay, he's back. He's a centerpiece of this offense. Oh, do we keep Welker? Do we not keep Welker? Well, Welker's healthy and he's my centerpiece, and I'll see where Hernandez fits in if he can get back
Paul?
Out there.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, the practices that he did take part in, he was limited in. So we don't know exactly what he did and how much he was able to do, how, you know, early he left those practices, why he left those practices, why he was limited. If he was limited to get treatment, which I saw one report this week indicated, then he's still dealing with something. And to me, listen, I have no reason to doubt any of the reports that were out, although there have been contradictory reports in the various papers. The Globe is saying he's in. I just don't think it makes sense to play him if he's not 100% healthy. In my opinion, why bring him back if he's not 100%? But, you know, listen, the Patriots have their reasons. To me, the offense is the least of your worries in a game like this.
But regardless, it sounds like neither of you feel like he's going to have a big role in this game.
I really don't know.
No, we don't. I don't know if he's going to come back, but I'm kind of with Andy. I'm not just ready to lockstep say he's back this week because there's a report that says he's back. Maybe he will be. Maybe he will be. But I'm not convinced of that. And, I would think that he might be more of a secondary option in this offense this week coming back. Right now, I think you got to stick with Welker. I think you got to stick with the running game a little bit. Even if you have a hard time getting it started. And I think, you mix in Gronk and Brandon Lloyd a little bit, and then you try to find Hernandez. I don't think you need to just kind of scrap what you've been doing the last three games without Aaron and just make him back to the focal point of your offense.
That being said, I do think this would be a great game to have Hernandez and Welker, your two quickest guys, because to me that's – I think Seattle matches up pretty well against Lloyd, kind of a bigger, lankier outside receiver. Against Gronk, I think they have some corners and safeties who match up well there. They have these corners that are 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". They have these big guys back there that are pretty athletic and speedy. They might be good matchups with guys like Gronk. I'm not sure they have a guy on the roster. I know the talk is it's probably going to be Trufant coming in potentially in the slot on Welker, who, you know, he's a wily veteran, but everybody out there seems to think he's fallen off significantly from where he was. So, you know, I haven't seen him play. Maybe I'll say, okay, Trufant's still pretty good and he can handle Welker, but I'd want to make them prove it because the rest of their guys, to me, can't handle Welker. They're these big guys, sort of like the Cromartie thing we may see next week, where I don't think it's a good matchup for these big, long corners.
Well, and as you cited as well, and we've talked about in past matchups, the quicker you get the ball out to guys closer to the line of scrimmage like Welker and Hernandez, the less time that, you know, you have Bruce Irvin or Clemens coming at Tom Brady. So
and the more it frustrates those guys. It's not just that they don't get there. Now it's in their head and they're, you know, they're frustrated. Now they're stopping to try to get hands up, and that's taking them out of their pass rush on times when maybe it's going to be a longer developing play. So I get back to it. Wes Welker, to me, is one of the focal points of your offense, and any time you choose to take him away from that, I don't understand that philosophy.
Dunkin' Donuts, Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. Here on Patriots.com, we'll get to your phone calls. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at Patriots.com. Two other guys I want to get to here in terms of your feeling on their role for today. We know about Brandon Spikes' tweet from earlier in the week. We know that Hightower's already been ruled out, so maybe that's a factor in this as well. How much do we see Spikes play today?
Well, I think Spikes will be out there all the time. I mean, this is a game made for him.
I don't see how it can't be.
Marshawn Lynch, beast mode. This is beast on beast. Spikes versus Lynch. I don't know any reason why he wouldn't be out there. I don't think, you know, to me, if they were doing something to him in terms of discipline, I think he would be done tweeting. And he was, you know, they were waiting on the bus to go on Friday, and he was tweeting out like crazy. So, I don't think this is going to affect his playing time. Certainly that would be an issue. You know, if they benched him for some reason with Hightower already out, that would be a concern for me. But I don't really expect that to happen.
And I have found it interesting how many people are sort of writing about that possibility, even with Welker, you know, with Welker's comment that he made, you know, following the last game that we already talked about, the possibility still existing that there could be some discipline. I would be almost shocked.
At least in the case of Welker, we've seen it before.
But here's the difference with the Welker one. Andy and I talked about this a little bit. I would be shocked if it ended up being Welker situated, because 2 years ago in that playoff game, he was sort of disrespecting another team's coach.
Sure.
This was a playful jab at his coach, and that's up to Bill. I mean, listen, if Bill didn't take it as a playful jab and he decided to discipline him, that's Bill's prerogative, and, you know, you live with it. But to me, there's a difference between Bill saying, listen, it's one thing, you know, it's all fun and games and we can do our stuff in-house, but we don't openly disrespect the other team. As much as you know that Bill probably down deep inside had no problem with disrespecting Rex Ryan, but that's not what we do here. One of those deals. This, to me, is a little bit different. The Spikes thing, now you're talking about
free speech and...
Well, yeah, and the political views and all that stuff, and I don't need to, you know, put this into a whether or not you agree or disagree with what Brandon Spikes wrote, how good, you know, how bad you thought it was, or if you had no problem with it. Because the fact of the matter is, we're not unbiased observers in this situation. This is a Patriot player who did it, so we're all going to look the other way. I mean, that's what's happening. That's the only, this generated nothing around here. But if this was...
Except for Byron Barnett.
If this was a Jets linebacker that tweeted this, we'd all be up, oh my God, how can he say such a thing? And, you know, so
what a reprehensible human being. Yeah,
we can't be unbiased on this. So, to me, I think there's a possibility that the Patriots could be upset with Brandon Spikes behind closed doors. But Andy hits the nail on the head. Wouldn't the first course of action be, hey, Brandon, knock it off?
No more Twitter.
We're
taking away your toy.
And it's not like he's been, you know, steering clear of the situation on Twitter. He's sort of fighting guys. Mm-hmm. He blocked I don't know how many people, because people were fighting with him on Twitter and whatnot. I don't know. Listen, I'm not a big tweet guy. I don't get the whole thing, but to discipline the guy for something like that off the field, to me, that doesn't make sense.
All right, so you guys don't see discipline coming for the off-field stuff, Welker or Spikes. Hernandez is obviously a different situation coming back from an injury.
Right.
How about Stephen Ridley with his fumble last week? What's his role today?
I think he'll be out there, and I've kind of said all along, I think you have to be in support mode for him. I mean, he's on pace for the second-best season rushing in Patriots history. He is proving himself an explosive part of your offense. And the comparison I've kind of made, Bill Belichick made some comments last week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, in the locker room about supporting Devin McCourty. And, you know, I know you're not getting a lot of support outside this locker room, but I'll roll with you any day, basically. And if you're going to support one guy like that for physical mistakes, giving up completions is a physical mistake, not all that unsimilar to fumbling. You know, I know Bill says, you know, it's a top priority. There's nothing more important than to start and finish the play, and that's everybody, receivers, punters, every blah, blah, blah. But they're both physical mistakes for guys that you think can be very good players for you, and you're supporting one, I think you need to support the other. And I think that means he's got to get carries.
I'm 100% with Andy on this one. I am very concerned about the situation. I'm not blind to it, but you need this guy to be your number one guy. You need to live with him a little bit, and you need to make sure that he gets over this. And if he doesn't get over it, then you got to make a decision. Right now,
like if he comes out and fumbles again today.
Let's say he fumbles twice today. Okay, that's not a good thing. All right, I'm not trying to say that.
Nothing gets by Paul.
But my point being, it's week six in Seattle, so you find out now, and then maybe you have 2 months to sort of figure out, what am I going to do? Bill can sit back. And the other thing I want to say in terms of, you know, the people that are just kind of whistling past the graveyard, it's two fumbles. It's not one. I know everybody has completely ignored the one in Buffalo because it went out of bounds.
By some everybody, people, you mean Fred Kirsch?
Some people, no. Were you listening to any of the pregame shows driving in today?
No, I was listening to the jump
that's right,
on the radio.
Andy's completely
and by the way, can
this,
I can I say, I'm sorry. Jump already.
I'm sorry.
The door's open.
I'm sorry. The jump was on the radio?
Well, I had it on my iPhone.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's a little different.
Safe. That's safe.
I wasn't watching it. I was just listening.
As I was texting everyone about it, I was listening to it on my iPhone on the drive-in.
You know, like I heard, on one of the stations today, not our station, not our flagship, it was on the other station, they said, you know, and like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, he went his whole career without fumbling. Now he seemingly puts one on the ground every week. He has two. Same as your guy that you're completely dismissing. The impact of his fumbles. It's like it didn't happen. The one against Buffalo, it's like, I don't know if people didn't see it or just didn't pay it any mind because it went out of bounds. Well, last year he had two fumbles too, and one of them went out of bounds the same way. They didn't lose them both. So I am concerned about it, Adam. I think it's something to watch, but I agree with Andy. I think he's clearly your best running back.
Yeah, I think
that you need to have him really become a problem and not just have these periodic bouts where ball security is an issue. I think situationally he needs to be a little bit better. The one last week, at that time again, that's going to happen. They're going to be, you know, in other words, the one or two extra yards by fighting there in that pile, not worth it. Get down. It's 4 minute offense. You got a good lead. Get down. We're not fighting for extra yards in these situations. I think he needs to learn some of that.
I think situationally that's what made that one worse last week.
Absolutely.
But look, I agree with you guys. He should start today. He should see a full role like he would have seen if he didn't fumble. If he fumbles again today, then I don't know. Maybe it's on the table. But until that point, I think you got to play him. I think you got to get him out there and get him his carries. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart. Paul Perillo here in our Subway Fresh Broadcast studios. We're presented by Dunkin' Donuts. Let them make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. We're taking you up to Patriots and Seahawks 4:05 kickoff from CenturyLink Field in Seattle. Right now, let's get Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
You've waited all week for it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
All right, guys, Belichick's pumped. What are your keys for this one today?
Mine is pretty simple and kind of cliche, but I think it's no big plays for the Seahawks, and I think that's both sides of the ball. No strip sacks from the defense, but I think more importantly is no downfield passing. And, you know, I think people think Russell Wilson is incapable of doing anything.
I'm one of those guys.
Well, I'd like to see him prove it.
I'm sort of with you. Yeah.
Because I'd like to give me the list on one hand, and I don't even know if you'll need all your fingers, of guys who looked, quote, incapable against the Patriots secondary. And I don't really come to mind of anyone.
Tyler Pelco?
Well, yeah, guys.
It's like,
you know, from week 10 to week 15 inclusive last year. That's about it.
But, see, I don't even know that they were all that bad. I think you move the ball against this team if you have a right arm. I mean, I think that's, you notice I eliminated Tim Tebow. He had a left arm.
And Tyler Pelko.
Oh, yeah. But literally, and I think part of their game plan should be trying to throw the ball deep, trying to get the ball down the field, trying to test Devin McCourty, sure, trying to get Sidney Rice involved. And if they don't do that, I think they have zero chance of winning this game. If they don't get a big play maybe on special teams, a big play on defense, and a big play on offense, I don't think they can win this football game, even though it's loud.
Yeah, I was going to do the same kind of thing with a cliche. I mean, it's a cliche, but you just can't turn. I'm going to limit it to one thing. You just can't turn the ball over at them because that's what they want to do. They want to try to create offense with their defense. I am less respectful of Wilson and the Seahawks offense than Andy is. I don't think they can score if you don't score for them. And to me, it's all about what they do offensively in this game. If they don't turn the football over, I think you win. But if you want to have one specific thing that you need to do to make sure the Seahawks offense doesn't do anything and stick with the cliches, you got to stop Marshawn Lynch.
Before we hit the phones here, 508-298-0398, Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll get to your emails as well.
I waited Web all radio. This time for this? They don't have a better camera than a little...
Is that little dog, like, is that it?
Like, yes.
I've been telling you this the whole time. Like, this is... You're not even seeing anything. All you're doing is they're cutting to him, and you're seeing the same thing every single time.
I thought they would...
Did you just see that angle where it had it, like his helmet cam, where it was just looking down at Earth and nothing was moving on the screen? That's literally what we've been watching.
But now he's going 655 miles. he's pushing 700. He didn't do a jump, if anybody cares. He jumped, and for all we know, he's alive.
Scratch that. Let's just get into the phone calls here. 508-298-0398. Let's hit Jeff in Vegas.
Oh, he's
up
tumbling.
First.
Why is he tumbling?
Here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are ya?
What are the odds on this guy making it alive to Earth?
What's the over-under on miles per hour?
Yes, it is plus 220 that he dies.
Can't be a good sign that he's tumbling awkwardly, head over feet. Like, shouldn't he be in some sort of a controlled descent? Like,
at
he knows what he's doing?
Coming back down to Earth.
No!
Oh,
I think he caught it. He's flying now. Now he's head first.
Anyway, guys, I'll start right with the numbers. It's been New England rock solid all week. Hasn't moved a smudge, minus 3.5. Total started like 46, has dropped to 43.5. And is that like, what's the weather out there?
Rainy and cool.
Oh, okay, it's rainy. That could have something to do with it.
Oh, yeah, it could, eh? Could also have something to do with the number one defense in football.
Yeah,
and a terrible offense.
Was Bill just blowing smoke, or does Seattle really have a capability of slowing down the Pats?
I believe they have a capability. I think they're a good defense. Some people think they're a smoke and mirrors fraud show. I think they're good.
Okay, well, that brings me to the not. I'm not going to do the Justin Vegas play of the week yet, but the 43.5 total. You guys have nailed me. I lost the over-under by half a point and went over. How do you guys feel about the 43.5? You've been much better on the totals than I have.
I'm going under.
I'm going under as well. Yeah.
I'll make that a clean sweep. I will go under.
I think that's a lot of points in this game. Again, though, that what I talked about earlier, if you start getting big plays and swing plays, kick returns, but if this game plays out sort of to the chalk, I think it's a 20-10 type game, 24-14 type game, somewhere in that ballpark.
Are any of you not taking New England, giving the 3.5?
No, I don't think.
I mean, I am. I think the Patriots, even though I'm taking the under, I think the Patriots are going to blow doors. I think they're going to roll over Seattle.
And I think they're going. It's 43.5. I think they'd have to score close to 40 to get it. 35 right. plus to get it over. That's why I like the under. But no, I think we're all giving the 3.5, I believe.
Nice, interesting, and that's a nice segue into the Jeff in Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
Guys, we're in agreement. Take the chalk, give the 3.5. New England's going to roll. Pete Carroll doesn't really have much success against Belichick. Belichick doesn't really respect or admire him that much. However, I'm going to play contrarian and go over 43.5. Again, you guys have owned me in the over. And here's the last little tidbit. I'm just going to put a little something. I tweeted 35 basis points. I'm going to put one-third of a unit on Seattle on the money line plus 160 just as insurance.
Lock I love it when you do that. All right, Jeff.
Case.
We'll talk to you next week. Lunch on Thursday. See ya.
Talk to you later.
All right. Yep. Thanks, Jeff, for giving us a call here. 508-298-0398. Quickly, do you guys agree with that? Belichick doesn't respect Pete Carroll?
I don't know. Do you?
Well, I'm just wondering.
It was just said so matter-of-factly. I didn't know if there was
something. Oh, the shoot is out.
Yeah. He also said that Belichick owns Pete Carroll. I don't, to my knowledge, I'm not sure they ever opposed one another, right?
Yeah,
right?
I don't know.
I don't know.
When could it happen? Belichick in Cleveland and Carroll in
versus New York.
Jets?
Correct. That would be the only time, and that's I'm not sure that they did. I know he didn't oppose him yet with Seattle. It's the first time Carroll's gone against the Patriots since he was the Patriots coach. But maybe in 94, Cleveland and New York played.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
I didn't see that in a football life. They didn't touch on that in a football life.
That wasn't on that episode. Part of the ode to Belichick.
508-298-0398. Ace Ticket Hotline right now. Let's welcome in one of our members of our Patriots fan club.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
Got a good tailgate?
Oh, man, they are playing at one hell of a party.
Think you're the loudest group at Gillette? It's time we find out as we hear from our Fan Club of the Week.
All right, it's our Fan Club of the Week here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. And dialing us up on the Ace Ticket Hotline, Chris Porter of the Boston Sports Fans in Seattle. And Chris, sounds pretty wild there. What's going on?
It is, man. We've got over 400 Patriots fans here at Chillbox Dodo. And I'm not going to be able to talk very long because I understand Mr. Kraft is on his way any minute now.
Nice.
Speak with the fans. We had a little pregame social last night. 250 Pats fans have played some Spitfire, and Mr. Kraft showed up kind of unexpectedly, and we have Sam Van Cunningham here, Patriots legend, and it's just epic. It's off the hook. I wish you guys were here to see it.
That's awesome. What's the confidence level? Well, first of all, what's the weather? Is it raining yet?
It's kind of raining. It's been spitting rain on and off a little bit. It's probably like about upper 50s. The good football weather, it hasn't made, they were predicting possible heavy showers, but we've yet to see it, so knock on wood, that kind of holds off. And I, you know, right now, tons of Pats fans, we're all feeling really good. It's going to be a good game, you know, like you guys are talking, the Hawks got a good defense and everything, but I think we feel good about our boys, don't we?
Well, I think everybody here certainly agrees with you on that. Now, is everybody confident that this is going to be a kind of control the game win, or is there some trepidation about that defense and the trouble it could give Brady?
I think the defense is a little overhyped personally because we're only five games in. They are very good, and it's a good team, and not to take anything away from them, but I like to think this is really their biggest test, and I'll be able to comment more on their defense tomorrow, you know, after the game. But, you know, the NFC West, I don't know, since they became a defensive juggernaut all of a sudden. So it's just kind of, you know, Cardinals and Rams showed some stuff too. So, you know, just got to be, you know, our boys, you know, they're ready for every game. So, you know, it should be good. I think the interesting thing is our defense, you know, we get a little bend, don't break defense here, but if they can get to Wilson, I mean, he's improving each week, but, you know, he's a rookie quarterback, and Belichick and company have had good luck against that. So we're feeling good about that. They're going to hear from a lot of Patriots fans in the crowd. Like, I'm sure there's a few thousand of us here. And it's going to be a really fun time.
Well, enough of that game, Chris. Can you get to the bottom of something that's much more important? Did, in fact, Eric Scalavino last night speak to a woman?
No comedy from Eric. No, he just sat there and hung out. It looked cool in a corner. He and Fred, that's right, Fred and Eric were there, of course. Yeah, and Brian Lowe and Mike Reese.
Mm.
And,
well, Mike Reese was there?
Whole cavalcade. Mike Reese's dad is here right now at this party.
That sounds like a wild crew.
It's a wild crew, exactly. But we have all, guys, do you have any idea how many Canadian fans there are? We have like about 20 people from, you know, like Alberta, Saskatchewan, BC. They're all big Pats fans that have traveled all the way to Seattle. I'm blown away.
That's awesome. And what was the message Mr. Kraft delivered last night at the party?
Well, I think he was just, you know, thankful for everybody being there. He was really touched to see Sam Bam. They had a very, honestly, a very, you know, not to be over dramatic, very kind of poignant moment. They were both, because we'd had a microphone for each of them, and Sam said some very, very sweet things to Mr. Kraft and, you know, tribute to Myra and everything. And you could tell Mr. Kraft is very touched by that. And he was just psyched to see, you know, he just kept up everybody, which I'm sure he'll do in a little while here. He's a fan, too, so he's psyched to see all of us.
All right, well, we'll let you get back to the party, but if you can do us a favor, send some photos in. Either email them to webradio@patriots.com or send them over Twitter, #PPGS, so we can get those photos up on the Facebook page and show us what kind of support you guys are giving the team out in Seattle.
Absolutely. Well, give them to me personally because I'm running around. I'll probably have to do that tomorrow for you guys, but I'll announce that to everybody. Webradio@patriots.com.
That's right, guys. Especially the hot chicks in the crowd.
Right on.
Okay. See you, Chris.
All right, Chris. Thanks for the phone call. Dialing us up from the Boston Sports Fan Seattle Fan Club as they get geared up for a lot of Canadians in the crowd as they get geared up for Mr. Kraft to come there, talk to the team before. I know why he's probably not there yet. He's probably watching the space jump. That's probably,
And he can leave now because the man is on the ground alive.
Felix is alive and well.
He made it.
Is that his name?
That's remarkable.
Felix Bumgarner looked a little dangerous going by. He was flying over a helicopter.
Yeah, I think that was one of those perspective things. I think it wasn't really as close as it looked. Yeah. But he's on the ground. He's talking to people. And
poor marketing, by the way, from Red Bull. The first thing he should do is crack open a Red Bull the second he lands. That's the first, and just chug it. That's the first thing he should be doing.
He's going to die. The first thing he should do is make sure he's going to live.
The 97 different places that it says Red Bull on him weren't wasn't good enough marketing.
I think they could have stepped it up a little.
Let's
bit.
Let's be honest. We don't know what condition his heart is in right now. He just fell for 5 minutes at 700 miles an hour. When you pump a Red Bull into you and see if you can die.
When you said he was tumbling, I sort of thought you were exaggerating. And
no,
then
he
was tumbling. And I turned around, and he was literally going, ass over tea kettle.
When you watch in the movies, they, control it so well, and they dive, and they can go wherever they want. He was the exact opposite. He looked
His family looked very scared.
Yeah, they did. I think everybody may have been when he was tumbling like that. Which, for all we know, you might find out later, he could have been unconscious. He could have been... No one really knew what was going to happen in that moment.
No, we'll keep him posted.
But he's alive.
On this space jump. We'll also have a few other news and notes on this Patriots game coming up, this minor game coming up, 4:05, from Seattle. That's the kickoff. And we'll also get the view from the other side coming up next here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social on Patriots.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Brandon Bolden of New England Patriots. Now get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo on the Patriots Pregame Social.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots Pregame Social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. Live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We'll get in your phone calls, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll also check in Seattle. Get the view from the other side as we take you up to Patriots and Seahawks 4:05 kickoff time from the Pacific Northwest. Looking over some of these emails here. Andrew writes into webradio@patriots.com. Guys, longtime Pats fans here with a prediction. Seattle will start with the ball, get 2 touchdowns, as will the Pats. Patriots will then get the ball after halftime and turn it over. Seattle will be held to a field goal. Pats will get a touchdown and will be ahead 20-17, then force Seattle to punt on the next possession. They drive for a Ridley touchdown and win it 28-17.
Okay.
You think it's pretty detailed?
I guess
yes,
I
like that.
I guess
I like the detail.
My question on that would be, do you think the game's going to be that close? Like, in other words, like a game, like, I don't know about the score, 11 points or whatever, but do you think the game's going to be that close throughout?
I think it could be. I definitely think it. I think it could be as well. The Seattle defense.
What do you think it will be though?
I just almost swore.
That's the kind of sarcasm that you use to me in the middle of when I'm trying to make a point, when you know what I mean, but I didn't actually say that.
Quite frankly,
that was what he just did to you.
I think people that try to predict games exactly how they're going to play out are morons.
I don't mean that. I just mean, how do you see the game? Like, what's your thought on how it plays out?
I think it's
going to
be a close game.
I know
that could go back and forth.
Yeah, okay.
When I say it could be a close game, it means I expect it to be a close game.
Okay.
That means I'm not going to say, well, you know, in the first drive, I expect the Patriots drive to a field goal.
And
then Seattle drives to a touchdown.
I'm not asking you to do that.
And the second drive is going to a field goal. And after that, there's going to be everything. The game will unfold. I think the final score will be a competitive game, and I think it'll be a competitive game throughout. I don't think either team has the capability of pulling away because I respect the Seattle defense.
So I do not feel that way. Paul, how do you feel about it?
I think it's going to be a lower scoring game than what we've seen. I do think there's going to be an element of I think that it's going to be close in score, but not necessarily – you're not going to feel like the game is hanging in the balance because I don't think Seattle's going to move the ball. Do you know what I'm saying? I think that they might be within a score for large portions of the game, but it's going to feel like they're not because they are not going to come close. You know, like Denver last week, okay? Denver fell behind 31-7. I never thought the Denver offense had been stopped. They were losing 31-7, and I felt like every time they got the ball, they moved it and turned it over. Now, the Patriots forced some of those turnovers. I'm not – don't, you know, take that as a shot, Patriots fans. But I don't think that that will happen – today. I don't think Seattle's going to get the ball, get 3 or 4 first downs and punt, or get the ball and get 3 or 4 first downs and turn it over. I think they're going to get the ball, run 3 plays, and punt. Get the ball, run 4 or 5 plays, and punt. I think that's what's going to happen all day, because I just think nothing of that offense. If the Patriots don't help them out, with their offense turning the ball over and making mistakes, I don't think Seattle can keep
Well, but that's the one thing that I've kind of honed
make
in
it
on.
A tight
I mean,
game.
No, other way around. I just think Seattle has shown a propensity to turn it over. Patriots have turned teams over thus far this season. I think that's not a great recipe for Seattle. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, as we get the view from Seattle.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
To do that, we welcome in Danny O'Neill of the Seattle Times here to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. First of all, Danny, thanks so much for taking the time. And one of the things we've heard throughout the course of this week is how loud CenturyLink Field can be. How big of an obstacle, how big of an issue is that for some of the opponents that have come in there?
It's definitely been a big issue for teams, and that goes all the way back to the year Seattle made the Super Bowl in 2005, when this really did become an environment that is one of the tougher to play in. The fact that New England and what the kind of games they've played in, the kind of experience that their quarterback has, I don't think it's going to affect the Patriots like it has affected other teams. I think specifically Eli Manning early in his career, you would see that I think the environment bothered him. When Carolina came to play here in the NFC Championship game, I think the environment took them out of their offense. That's not going to be the case with New England. The team has been through too much and seen too many big games for something like this to be a factor.
Something that I think everybody assumes will be a factor is that Seattle defense. And as someone who has watched them throughout, are they legit? Are they for real? Are they one of the best handful of defenses in football? And are they capable of slowing down Tom Brady and company?
I do think they're one of the best defenses in football right now. They're also very young. I think that one of the things that makes this challenge so interesting is because New England, of all the teams in terms of, they've faced some decent offenses. Dallas is not as good this year, but they played in week two at a point when everybody thought that the Cowboys were a pretty explosive offense. They played the Packers and were able to keep them, the Packers, cross midfield only once in the first half. And while I think we can all look at Green Bay and say they're not the same kind of offense and putting up the same prolific numbers they did a year ago, that's still a pretty incredible accomplishment. But the Patriots team is a different challenge. The one thing I'm most interested to see is so far, Seattle has faced a number of different types of offenses, from Carolina, which does the read option, to Green Bay, which is really built around a vertical passing game. Even to Dallas, they have not changed their format. They have not adjusted or done anything in terms of changing their alignment or doing anything special. I don't know if they can do that against this Patriots team, because this Patriots team is built to get you in a mismatch and then lock you into that mismatch by going hurry up. So I'm curious to see how they spend it. I do think it is a very good defense. I don't know if it's a great defense in terms of being able to dictate the tempo and the pace of the game against a team that's as good and experienced as New England is on offense.
Danny, I want to stick with this for a second and talk specifically about run defense for Seattle. The Patriots have done a very good job, as you said, of dictating the matchup and getting teams to go with smaller personnel packages and then really running the ball effectively. Has that been an issue with Seattle? You know, Bill Belichick seemed to indicate this week that they don't do a whole lot of substituting beyond bringing Bruce Irvin in sub packages and whatnot. Can Seattle stop the Patriots' run game without really having to do anything specifically game plan oriented to do so?
Yes, I think so, but it comes with a qualifier. Because, as I said, and as Belichick referenced, it is really true. They don't make a ton of substitutions, but the one significant substitution they do make is in their pass rushing situation. They take Red Bryant out as the defensive end and replace him with Bruce Irvin to give them two pass rushers, which is Irvin and Clemens. And that's going to be the biggest decision that Seattle faces this week, is even when they do get into a passing situation and they're able to substitute, if they take Red Bryant off the field, then you're taking out the player that is kind of the linchpin of the rush defense. He's essentially a third defensive tackle, and he's much more akin to an end in a 3-4 scheme as opposed to a conventional defensive end in a 4-3 scheme.
Yeah.
If he's off the field, you then have two undersized defensive ends in Bruce Irvin and Chris Clemens, and I do think that they are susceptible to being run on specifically between the tackles by New England. But I think when Seattle is in its base personnel, I don't think there are many teams that are going to be able to line it up and just run it straight against them, because they've got three guys who are each at least 325 and who are very, very good run defenders. And then you combine the fact that, and this is probably the part of the defense, Seattle's defense, that is sort of understood the least, is that it starts with the corners and that they count on their two corners Brandon Browner and Richard Sherman to stand up one-on-one on the outside with only a single safety helping, which essentially brings another run defender into the box.
Danny, I think one of the other questions is, you mentioned the pass defense and the corners. Those are big corners, and obviously Wes Welker is sort of the heart of this Patriots passing game. How do they match up with a small slot guy like Welker, and is that Trufant coming on the field, and do you think they can have success covering Welker?
Yeah, it is. Trufant is their nickel defensive back. Seattle's been improved against smaller, shiftier players, but last year showed there were times that this is not the great matchup for the press man coverage that they play, someone who is shifty or someone who is able to get open. The thing I'm most curious about is what Seattle does with Earl Thomas. He's their free safety. He's a Pro Bowler a year ago. He's got incredible range. He has enough coverage skills to defend a slot receiver, and that is something that they might try to do this game, is to see how he's going to match up. But then that brings up the question of, what do you do with the tight end? I know Aaron Hernandez, there's some question about how much he'll play if he does at all. But, like, they have the personnel to defend Welker. I'm curious to see if they make that the priority. And I would expect that they don't just expect their corners to be able to handle him.
Okay, now assuming that Seattle can do some of those things that you talked about, Danny, on defense, how do they score enough points to pull off the upset?
It's a great question, and I don't know. There have been times that this offense has shown an ability to move the ball. They had, in the second half of their game against Dallas, they had two touchdown drives of 80 yards or more. But the reality is that this offense has played, and some of it's by design, very conservatively. They've scored 9 touchdowns this year, which is tied for 4th fewest. 8 of those touchdowns have been scored by the offense if they had a special teams touchdown. Only 4 times has Seattle crossed midfield on a touchdown drive. And that's really an incredible stat, and it points to the fact that if you keep from giving them a short field by either a special teams return or a turnover, they have a really hard time sustaining that kind of drive. And I think that's going to be, it is going to be very hard for Seattle to win this game without seeing significant improvement from the offense. And if you're asking for significant improvement, that's asking them to show something they really haven't done in anything but the second half against Dallas, when they were able to string 2 touchdown drives together.
Okay, so speaking of things they haven't done, is there any chance we see Matt Flynn today in an effort to sort of challenge this Patriots secondary and get the ball down the field maybe a little bit?
No, I don't think so. They felt that the coaching staff felt that Russell Wilson played really good last week. That was probably top to bottom his best game as Seattle's starting quarterback. He was 9-for-10 passing on third down. It also came in the run. He had the single worst throw he's had as a pro. Threw a pick 6 where he threw the ball behind for the back hip of the tight end who's being defended by a cornerback. And NFL quarterbacks know that when you're going against this caliber athlete, you can't be late over the middle like that anymore. Because of the way Seattle's schedule lines up, they have a short week and then they will play at San Francisco on Thursday. It's hard for me to think that they would do something that would precipitate either a serious question or even a quarterback change going into next week. I don't expect you'll see Flynn.
All right. What are you expecting to see in the game overall? I mean, we have an idea of how you feel the units match up against each other. What are you thinking for an outcome today?
I predicted the Patriots to win, and this, I think the biggest statistic that I came back to is that since the start of the 2010 season, that's when Pete Carroll took over as Seattle's head coach, Seattle is 3-16 when the opponent scores 20 or more points. And that speaks to the reality that this is a team built around its defense. And if this defense, and they don't have the quarterback, that if it gets into a sort of a little bit, not even a shootout, but just a game where your offense has to make some plays to keep pace, they have a really hard time. And going back to the start of the 2010 season, New England's failed to score 20 points only 4 times. It's hard for me to see, even if Seattle's defense plays well, them holding the Patriots down enough to the point where their rookie quarterback can win this game.
All right, he's Danny O'Neill. You can check him out in the Seattle Times. He's joining us from Seattle. Danny, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, thanks for having me. Take care, guys.
Thanks,
right.
Danny.
Danny O'Neill, Seattle Times, joining us here on the Nugget Donuts Patriots pregame social. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studio inside Gillette Stadium. We'll get to your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. As Andy just said, Patriots inactives are out. We already knew Gregory, Hightower, Edelman, White, the other 3, Beckett, Tennant, O'Omanawanui. Any surprises there?
No, I don't know about a surprise, but Hernandez is indeed active, and that to me
in.
Is the story of the day. We'll see how his role affects this offense, or if he's, you know, able to be his traditional self, if he's a smoke screen. You know, just because he's active now, you wonder how many plays can he play? Will he, you know, Paul and I were actually talking on the way down. Is there a chance he's active and then doesn't play? So, you know, as much as we now know a little bit more about Hernandez, I don't think we'll really see it unfold until the snaps.
And that's a good point. Who did we see that with earlier this year? Connolly was someone who was active and didn't play.
Correct.
So we have seen that with the Patriots before. The other thing that I think
over
is
over the last year, and Paul and I were talking about this, there was a once upon a time, like, if you were active, you had to play. Like, there was this whole thing with Bill. You were going to be a part of the game plan. You were going to play. Last year, Gary Guyton was active and, you know, a healthy scratch a lot there. It seemed like all of a sudden in the last year and a half, there have been more and more guys who are active but do not. I think Dowling might have had one this year.
He's had one this year, and you're right.
It's a little change, and, you know, I guess you could just point to the whole, you know, quarterback thing, the extra spot, that whatever. I just think the roster spots aren't quite as valuable as they once were, so it's possible a guy like Hernandez could be active.
It seems like the other thing people are gravitating to, besides Hernandez being active, and again, his role remains still up in the air, but the other one is apparently Vollmer. Game time decision was being looked at by the training staff. He's been on the injury report all week. He is active. He'll
back
be out there,
me.
which is big because, you know, you're talking about Bruce Irvin, you're talking about Clemens, and we just heard Danny O'Neill pumping those guys up, and right.
Certainly
so.
Don't want to see the Marcus Cannon Bruce Irvin matchup. That
right.
one scares me.
So that's another note from the Patriots actives and inactives, and we'll continue to work our way through those. 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Matt LePan, Bullen double duty on the program today, filling in for Kevin Collins. He's also in the poll center. What's going on,
Matt?
Run
over there. Run over there. Hold on. I got to get to the poll center. Give me a second.
Get down there.
Okay, go.
Which Patriots defender needs to have the best game to contain the Seahawks rushing attack? Wilfork, Spikes, Chung, Chandler Jones, Devin McCourty, or Jerod Mayo?
I'm going to go Wilfork. I think when you're talking run defense, it starts with Wilfork. He's the centerpiece of that front, and everything else sort of comes off of him.
Absolutely.
At the same time, though, don't you sort of know what you're going to get out of Wilfork week to week? And maybe Spikes, although his play seems to have been upped a little bit this season and at the tail end of last season, a little bit more of a wild card.
Well, I think in a game like this, he's as counted on as Wilfork. This is his kind of game.
Well, and that,
run
I guess
forward
that's,
and bang into
But I guess
other.
That's sort of what I'm saying. I think you sort of know what you're going to get out of Wilfork. You sort of know out of Mayo. I think you're getting to that point with Spikes. But I do feel like he's still more of a wild card.
Not for me in a game like this.
Where
if you said the other team could throw a bit, okay, now there's a concern. What does he have to do? But in a game where the other team is incapable of throwing and only runs, this is what Brandon Spikes was made for. He was formed for this kind of a game.
Fans are agreeing with you at this point, too. 23% for Wilfork so far, 21% for Spikes.
Spikes, to me, is he's an interesting player. I think that he's made big, big plays so far, and I think that's sort of overshadowed some mistakes that he's made.
In the passing game? Or
no, in everything. I think he's had a handful of times this year where he's aggressively shot a gap and the ball's gone the other way, or he's run right by the ball. But the good news is when you guess right and when you do that, you knock the ball loose, which he did to Fred Jackson. He did it to C.J. Spiller. You know, the Ryan Williams hit. I almost called it Kyle Williams. Ryan Williams hit. Those overshadowed. You know, and you sort of look at it and you say, well, I'll take that swap. You know,
well,
I mean, he's going to run by once in a while and he's going to be over aggressive, but when he's right and his instincts prove right, because Bill talked a lot about how he's such an instinctive player and he does it in a way that maybe you wouldn't teach, but it works for him. When it works for him, is he creating some big plays? Now, you might look at it differently if he's not coming up with that big play, you know, from time to time. And then you're looking and say, well, a run defense is sort of lacking. And he's over here in the A-gap on one side, and the ball's going the other way.
But the only thing is with those, and with a player like him, I don't always assume it's just him. I mean, there are run blitzes, and some of those I assume he's on a run blitz.
Absolutely.
And a run blitz responsibility is if the run is to your side, it's B-gap. You don't care where the ball's going. You have B-gap. So I don't fault him for those, and he's the kind of a player that I can see that happening with because they may say he doesn't really have the speed to get to the outside, so he's not going to run him down to the sideline. I'd rather send him on a run blitz. He may get him. If he doesn't get him there, somebody else has to get him. So I'm always hesitant to say, okay, he's doing that on his own, and he's just shooting gaps on his own.
Oh, I agree with that.
Because I find it hard. Well, but if it's a run blitz and he misses,
I agree with you on
well, then
that.
It's not a bad play.
No,
it's him doing his job on that
play. I understand what you're saying. I'm talking about running by the ball at times.
I think most of those, it's when he shoots through the gap.
Yeah. Well,
and so if those are run blitzes, that's not his fault.
So if he's running by the ball?
If he's going the wrong gap,
then yeah, absolutely.
I haven't seen him run by the ball yet. I've seen the ball run by him, which to me are those are two different things.
Not to me. I think the ball's gone by him where he's been.
I think if you run, you run through the B gap and the guy is running a toss and he gets to the outside and you're not there fast enough.
No. I'm talking.
That's what I've seen. I haven't seen him run by a ball carrier.
All right. We don't have to fight about whether or not it's his fault or not.
I didn't know we were fighting. I thought we were discussing.
Focusing in on the guy who runs the football for the Seahawks, Marshawn Lynch. A lot of Patriots fans are familiar with him from his days in Buffalo. How, if at all, has he changed from those days to now?
I think he's better.
More consistent.
Yeah. I mean, you look at a guy that literally has 85 yards every game this year, up to 112. I mean, right in that window, he's got 500 and something for the year. You know, it's just a plug it out. You know, we want to run the ball. We're going to run the ball, and damn it, you're not going to stop us. And he's done that every week.
Yeah, it might just be a situation where he's on a team now that's going to feature him no matter what every week. You know, Buffalo, I think, was constantly searching for different things to do and different ways to try to attack. This team seems to say, we're going to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch 25 times every game. He goes into the game knowing that unless something really out of the ordinary happens early and we fall but three touchdowns behind, I'm getting the ball at least 20 times. And as Andy said, 85 yards or more in every game this year, and you can sort of count on that.
Believe the best running back in the NFL dating back to, I don't know, it's one of those PR stats like week 7 last year or something. He's the most productive running back in the league.
And a lot of those yards, I'm sure
don't
you guys
sleep
have seen,
on Turbin either.
Oh, the yards the after
Terminator.
The catch thing?
The yards after contact. I don't know if you've seen that note thrown around a little bit this
week. Sort of the anti-Sean Green.
Seems to be everywhere. But right, your guy, the Terminator, he's back
there
as well.
I think some of those things are unfair, too. I mean, you know, where's the contact happening? You know, like if he's getting a 7-yard run and that's first contact and he breaks that and he gets another 20, it's a little different than getting hit, you know, 3 yards in the backfield.
You know what?
And then trying to get 7 yards
we
after
should,
contact.
We should get Gresh on the phone. He's broken down the tape.
Break it down. Break it down, baby.
Let's hit the
emails. According to Gresh, he and Paul share a brain.
I did hear that.
I almost threw up in my mouth when I heard that one. See, now that's just.
You know what? That was uncalled for. Let's hit the emails, webradio@patriots.com. Nick writes in, guys, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Correct.
The NFC West is clearly the best division in the NFL.
Right.
Just like the NFC East was last year and the NFC North the year before that. Anyway, I have a game for you guys. Just a simple over-under. I know how big of a fan you guys are of these.
Love games.
Hernandez catches 4.5.
Under.
I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go under as well. Ridley carries 15.5.
Under.
Wow.
I'm going to say under as well.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to say over on that. Why under? Just out of curiosity. They're not going to be able to run. Okay.
That's a lot of carries against the team. I mean, because they're not just going to feature him. So they're going to try to run the ball in a variety of ways, I'm assuming. And against a team that only allows 66 yards, to say he's going to get 15, they're going to be doing enough to get it. It just sounds like I think this is going to be a game where they have to throw the ball, draws, screens.
Spread them out.
And that doesn't smell as much Ridley.
Woodhead game is what you're saying?
Or maybe Vereen. I'm still hoping on Vereen. Maybe this is stupid, but I'm hoping.
Vereen is not in these over-unders. But
he shouldn't be, probably.
So Bolden carries. What are you thinking? The line is 10.5 over-under.
I'm going to say under on that, too.
Okay, that one I would agree with. Brady passing touchdowns, 2.5. That seems high.
I'm going to say over.
Wow.
Say he throws 3 today.
I'm going to say under. He stays at 2.
I'm going to say under as well. And finally, McCourty interceptions. This is a good one. 1.5.
I'll take the under.
How about if it's 0.5, what would you take?
Under.
Under.
See, I think this
actually,
could be
over.
See,
I'm
I think
because they got to take chances.
Somebody's picking off Russell Wilson today. It might as well be McCourty. That's sort of how I feel about
Tavon
that.
Tavon Wilson. He's got a magnet right in his chest.
It's where Nick writes in to webradio@patriots.com.
We did get a tweet saying, does Adam even know you have an email account?
Yeah, well, you know, it's between going to our guests.
All right, just read an email. Don't talk about it.
Between, you know, your keys to the game and setting up the program.
The space thing.
Right. Peter writes into webradio@patriots.com. And
yeah. Peter.
Guys and Adam. I like how he differentiates me. From
usually,
it,
just so you know, during
it's
the week, it's
Eric.
Guys and Eric. So
guys
you're now lumped in as being like
good.
Eric.
Guys and Adam. As it's been talked about to death, the Seattle Seahawks have the number one defense in the NFL. But with San Francisco and the Texans, is it really the number one D in the NFL? Who's the best defensive player on the Seahawks? And which is their Patrick Willis or J.J. Watt type player?
Well, Clemens, probably the answer to kind of Watt slash best player. I think he's the most consistent. He's had 11 sacks each of the last 2 years. He's got 5 and change already, 5.
Something like that.
I mean, he's had kind of a career explosion as the Leo I believe it is for Pete Carroll's defense now. But I think he's their most consistent player. But I think they have some pretty good players. I think Red Bryant's a good player. I think Irvin is showing you.
Their cornerback's a pretty good player too.
Earl Thomas.
They're going to really be jacked up for this game.
I don't think you're that good on defense by having, like, one good player.
Well, I was going to say, I think that San Francisco and Houston might be better than Seattle on defense.
Sure.
But not because they don't have Patrick Willis or J.J. Watt. I think
could use a good linebacker.
You make a good point, though, about you can be a great defense and have a lot of good players on it, and I think that's what they have. They absolutely need help at linebacker. They don't have the depth at linebacker that either one of the other two teams have. But, you know, the Texans aren't, you know, I mean, depending on how you consider all those guys. Yeah, they just lost Cushing. But I think this is a pretty good defense. I'm really curious. That's one of the things that I'm really anxious to watch
today. No one thought San Francisco was good a year ago.
Last year.
So, welcome to the bandwagon on the Seahawks, too.
My whole NFC West thing is really predicated. You know, listen, I'm not saying that these teams don't play good defense. I think all four of them.
They don't have good quarterbacks. That's why you hate them. You like quarterbacks.
I think all four of these teams do have good defenses, but there's not a really good offense in the division, and that helps you. That helps you be a good defense.
Right, when you're going against Kevin Cobb and Russell Wilson,
yes.
And if you want to separate
Bradford.
Alex Smith,
I mean,
you can do
it.
Right, and Sam Bradford, whatever. Alex Smith has been pretty good this season, so take him out if you want.
St. Louis has been a bad offense for the last couple of years. So these teams have the benefit of playing those teams twice each, and that keeps your numbers down, and it allows you to be a good defense. Now, they have San Francisco certainly has proven it against everybody. I'm not saying that they're not a good defense. They are. San Francisco completely dominated the Giants for long stretches of that NFC Championship game. They gave up a lot of points to New Orleans, but, man, that was a tough physical game that, you know, could have gone either way. You know, they played very well defensively. I'm not saying these teams aren't good defensively, because they are. But I just don't think that makes you a great team. I think we had an argument this week with Fred on PFW in Progress, the illustrious leader. Somehow, when you have a so-so offense and a great defense, you're considered a good team. But if you have a great offense and nothing for defense, you're not. That's changing now. You know, it changed last year with the Patriots and the Packers. But for whatever reason, teams don't seem to like it that way. They don't like when the breakdown is offense good, defense bad. You know, the traditionalists don't like that. And I think that's part of why, hey, don't sleep on the Cardinals. They have a good defense. Well, so what? They can't move the ball. It's not a good team. You know, I mean, I think that you need to score points. You can win if you can score points. It's hard to win if you just want to keep the points down.
We'll focus in on some of these other games. We do our six-pack coming up here in about a half an hour on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Time now for our Bose headphone giveaway. The eighth caller to the contest line at 508-298-0392
I have to be?
Wins a pair of Bose SIE2 sport headphones. And yes, the eighth caller to 508-298-0392, our contest line.
Co-host of the show, not eligible.
To push your workout to the limit. You need headphones that can keep up. Bose SIE2 sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering acclaimed Bose sound, sweat, and weather resistance, a comfortably secure and exclusive Reebok Fitness armband. You demand more from your workout. Shouldn't you demand more from your headphones, too? Bose, game-changing sound. So, again, caller number 8 to our contest line. We'll win a free pair of those. We'll continue with your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll do that next. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social on patriots.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now.
Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Think you know more about the Patriots than Paul Perillo?
I don't know anything.
Try him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
I know nothing about anything.
Now, back to the man who knows it all.
We have the best listeners.
Paul Perillo.
Is that Nulipan? What was that thing?
That's new to the pregame. That's a PFW special.
I found that,
never get tired of making fun of me.
I found that quite enjoyable.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Adam Jones, Paul
Perillo. No problems making fun of myself.
Andy Hart here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots
pregame
social.
I have no problem making fun of you either.
That's painfully apparent to
really,
all that listen.
Really makes it quite easy. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll get your phone calls, your emails, and whatnot. But Andy, you want to get to some tweets?
An interesting one from our friend Greg Bedard.
Mm-hmm.
This was a little earlier on, but kind of lost in the actives, inactives, all that crap. Greg Bedard tweeted, expect Welker to have a big game. Don't see playing time affected by post-game comment. He and BB now have an understanding.
Okay. That is very interesting.
I don't really know what it means. And he later, like, he had a follow-up tweet that said, no, I don't really know what that understanding is. I've just been told they have an understanding or something like that. So
it is what it is.
I find it very interesting that... And again, I have nothing to offer on it. But.
Well, but we sort of, I mean, are, I guess we're all in agreement that I don't expect Welker's role to be impacted by the comment.
No, none of us did.
Not if Bill Belichick is, in the best interest of the football team, because it wasn't A, that big a deal, and B, you need him.
And look, Hernandez is active today. It sounds like Welker's going to be getting his full role, according to that tweet from Greg Bedard. But going forward, assuming Hernandez, improves and gets healthier and gets back to full speed, how does that change the dynamic with Welker in the offense?
I don't think it does. I mean, that was your offense last year when he caught 122 balls. I mean, I know they force-fed Brandon Lloyd the football through the first month. They were just pounding the ball to him, whatever it was, like 33, 34 targets the first four games, and he was your leading receiver. To me, that's not valuable. To me, that is doing, you know, it's nice to add a weapon on the outside. It's nice to get him acclimated to the offense. But your offense is at the best when Hernandez and Welker are getting forced the football, not forced, are getting the football 10 times a game. Gronkowski fills in. I don't think you have to target him as much as the other two. And then Lloyd just needs to, you know, I joke to you, Paul, that's his role when he's diving for a nice 25-yard touchdown in the end zone behind the defense. That's what I want to see.
Lloyd!
Three catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown.
Make plays, absolutely. Limited role, make some plays. And I think Gronkowski also, he's been sort of limited, I think, a little bit in the passing game, probably, you know, due to his hip. And I think that he's obviously a guy that they can listen and they can rely on, you know, in a passing game as well. I'm with Andy. I think that the guys, if you're going to force it to guys, it to me, it's Welker. And it's Gronk and Hernandez when he's right. I don't see the need to force it to the outside. You just have that there if you need it. It's one of those things. It's nice to have that extra threat. And I think that clearly they wanted to make sure that he was fully on board early in the season. You know, here, you know, we know you're part of this. You know, don't give up on us. You're here. You're part of it. You know, you've even seen Deion Branch chip in a little bit. Not a lot of plays, but big plays. You know, like last week, third and long, 25-yarder crossing pattern, big play. That's a big play in that game. Doesn't have to be, you know, the 10 catches for 120 yards. It can be, you know, one or two catches. In Lloyd's case, probably, you know, three or four because he's out there more often. It's really a nice blend offensively that they have right now.
Andy, you wanted to get to tweets plural or just that tweet?
I'm good.
All right, let's go to the emails, webradio@patriots.com. This is where the Fox writes in from New Mexico. Guys.
Did he land in your backyard?
the space jump, you're right.
Yeah, it could have been his backyard.
Very well could have.
I thought we had put that behind us, but perhaps I was wrong.
Backyard.
We'll take a follow-up email from the Fox, if that's the case. I don't like the idea of Ridley being benched, he writes, but I feel that this makes a lot of sense as a matchup benching, with the Seahawks being a team of professionals at making strips. I'm a bit frightened to have Ridley out there against them.
As opposed to the amateurs that play next week.
Any thoughts about whether Ridley will see less carries because of the matchup more than for disciplinary reasons? And that's something that you guys alluded to a little earlier.
But not even such.
Not because of the strips.
Yeah, more because of
they're good against the
run.
66 yards a game they allow.
How we're going to run the plays, spread them out, as I said, take advantage of their over-aggressive, fast, youthful nature with some screens and some draws and some end-arounds and different things. I just don't think this is a pound-it kind of game where you're going to have your featured back in there as often as you would in other weeks.
Yeah, I think that's right on. I think that if you're able to run the football effectively in this game, that says a lot about what you've done, you know, and all the progress that you've made running the football, because I think this is a pretty good run defense.
I have a tweet from PFW Eric. And he says, the Seattle weather is dry but cloudy now over CenturyLink Field. And radar shows, and this is a professional term, massive glob of green headed here. So apparently there's a massive glob of green on the way.
To follow up on that, when we had Danny O'Neill on before, when I was talking to him before he came on with you guys, he said it looked like we should start collecting two of every animal. Because the skies out there are apparently horrific. It looks like everyone's going to die.
That's a vantage Patriots in my
Hopefully
view.
Eric doesn't make it onto the arc.
Like if it's crappy, that's advantage Patriots. Like Russell Wilson isn't going to be able to throw the football in perfect conditions. Never mind in crappy rainy conditions. You guys feel the same way?
It depends how crappy.
It depends if there's wind involved with it that could affect the passing game. Now Tom Brady is the best bad weather quarterback there is, and rain will not affect him. But if it's really windy and you just can't throw the ball that day. That's the way Seattle wants to play anyway. That's not the way the Patriots want to play.
And it slows it down, so even more so, one of these big plays can change the game. You know, I said maybe they need one on offense, defense, and special teams. If it gets slowed down that much, maybe you just need the Leon Washington kick return.
In general terms, I agree with you, Adam. If you just say it's a bad weather game, advantage Patriots, in general terms, I agree.
How big are Russell Wilson's hands?
No one's better than Brady in bad weather.
It does sound like...
He's only 5'10". It can't be that big.
It does sound like... one of those NBA-type things
where his
hands are massive.
Oh, yeah, Rondo.
Pedro, those long fingers.
It does sound like this is a game where outside factors could at least contribute a bit to the Patriots and their no-huddle approach, which a lot was made of against Denver and the second half against Buffalo. Do you see the noise being a factor? Do you see the conditions being a factor? Do the Patriots even want to go that up-tempo against the Seattle defense?
No. Like I said earlier, I think you'll see it mixed in, but not to the degree. Part of that is I think you will see some more passing. You will see Brady more pre-snap reads and kind of making sure everything's set in the way he wants it to be against this defense that is going to fly around, is going to swarm, is going to move some bodies around a little bit. I think you will see it slow down a bit for all of the factors, but some of which will just be, again, game plan related.
Sure. Yeah, I'm really interested to see how the Patriots a lot of the hurry up has been hurry up and run. And I'm wondering if they're going to be able to hurry up and run today. And I thought Danny O'Neill brought up the good point with Red Bryant, you know, who is really a linchpin for that front four to stop the run. If they get caught up in getting him off the field to get Irvin out there to get pressure on Brady, does that make them susceptible to it? So we'll find out how accurate that 65 yards or whatever it is that they give up on the ground is. Is it because teams haven't been willing to run the ball, or are they that good?
Let's hit the phone calls. 508-298-0398. Brian's in Brighton, and you're next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, Brian.
Hey, suck it, fellas. What's going on?
Nice to see you. Nice to hear from you, I should say.
Hey, so I'm listening to this pregame stuff, and I've been listening all week, and it's just part of me that wonders, are we overthinking this game? I mean, are we really? I'm just starting to think I'm not scared at all.
Well, no one really thinks Seattle can win, so I'm not sure who's overthinking it.
Well, I guess, okay, so, I mean, it just seems to be a lot of talk about the defense and we can't turn it over. And, I mean, that's formulas for every game, right?
But I think you're going against a defense that is capable of turning you over if you're not careful. That's
and
the
I
difference
also think
this week.
You're going against a defense that's not going to allow 35 points in a quarter.
Yeah,
and there are certain defenses where I can dig a hole and then blow you the bleep out in the last quarter of action.
Yeah,
I don't think you can do that.
As an example, you turned the ball over a couple of times against Buffalo and it didn't bother you at
that's
all.
Kind
you
of the
scored
game
52
I'm
points.
To, yeah.
Well, that's what I'm giving
you're
you.
You're not going. Well, I assumed everybody remembered it, but yes, that was the game I was alluding to. You're not going to do that against the Seattle Seahawks.
I see.
I think I
got him fired up with that comment earlier. I think since then he's been a little.
But he's taking it out on
yeah,
me. I didn't say
true.
Anything.
That is true.
So
yelled at me about Brandon Spice.
That's where I don't necessarily agree, because I feel like with our offense, it, especially this year with the running game, I mean, I think we can break the back of a defense. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we opened up 30 points in a quarter on that.
Well, I'd be absolutely stunned if you did that today.
That means you're totally disregarding the Seattle defense
and
the
every
production
other team
they've
in football, basically.
For the last year and a half. Because this isn't just this year. They were a top 10 defense last year, too.
I do. I just think that with this running game now, you literally have no option as a defense.
How was this running game against Baltimore and Arizona?
It was okay. Okay.
No, it was terrible. It wasn't okay.
It was terrible.
And Baltimore can't stop anybody on the run either.
I always find, like, Arizona, I just knew we were going to lose. As soon as Brady just throws, like, a stupid lame duck pass that turns into a pick.
Well, he didn't do that that day.
They got tipped at the line, right?
He threw a pass that got deflected by a defensive lineman in the air, and the deflection was picked.
Yeah, but it was a terrible pass.
No, it wasn't.
Deflected. Like, that's what I mean. It was
no, it was. That's not what happened. It was deflected at the line.
I'm the argumentative one.
I was about to say the same thing.
But, I mean, we're just making things up. I mean, a stupid lame duck pass.
I am not making this up. I might have to prove you wrong here, Paul.
Listen, a pass deflected at the line is not a stupid lame duck pass.
The way it was thrown.
What do you mean the way it was thrown? What does that mean?
He just, like, threw it off his back foot. Watch. Okay.
I've seen it. I don't need to watch it.
You send the game
again.
Tape to Patriots Place here in Buckley.
No, he'll just
I get it. You knew that they were going to lose to Arizona, and you know they're going to score 30 points in the first quarter today against Seattle. I get it.
Zero to hot.
Well done.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
I get it.
All right, Brian, thanks for the phone call.
I don't know why we even watch the games.
298-0398. Give him a minute to argue. Steamed up over there.
Yeah, well, stupid lame duck pass. It's deflected at the line.
I got to tell you, I feel a little similar to Brock. I think he's overstating it a bit. Like, I don't see 30 points in a quarter, and I think
I don't think the Seattle Seahawks are a very good team. That I agree with 100% with Brian. I am not worried about losing this game today.
But
I'm not
saying you guys are doing it, but I just feel like a lot of the commentary
I don't think anybody is doing it. There's been like one guy in America, Peter King, who picked Seattle.
I think there's a lot of it's going to be close, it's going to be loud, Seahawks have a good defense, it was close in 2008. I know, but
those are all facts.
Well, no, I mean, they are all facts. They have a good defense. It is loud. I think it's being overstated how close the game is going to be. And I think this is going to be one of those where the Patriots get out and they're up by, I don't know, 21-3 or something like that early on in the third quarter. And that's sort of the game it is. That's how I feel about it. I've been proven wrong with some of these predictions.
I think that's a very plausible thing. And I've heard that scenario. I've heard a lot from people that have described this game. I guess what I'm arguing with is the notion that this is going to be a difficult game. I don't really hear a lot of people saying
that. Well, and we're certainly all saying it's going to be over 3.5. The Patriots should cover that line, I think, relatively easily. So, no, I don't think we're overstating it on this program.
But I'm just talking about, in general, what I've heard during the course of the week. There's a handful of outliers every once in a while. I haven't heard a lot of those this week. Like, there were people last week that thought Denver had a chance to win. I haven't heard as many of those people this week with Seattle. I hear more people saying, I'm not sure where they get the points. You know, where does the offense come from? To beat New England, you have to. Danny O'Neill is the guy who covers Seattle. He just said all those numbers about the Seahawks not being able to win if they don't score 20 points.
3-16.
And if the other team gives up 20. The Patriots have only not scored 20 like a handful of times in the last 4 years. That's the analysis that I've been hearing. I mean, I would be surprised. I think that Seattle does have a very good defense, but I'm sorry, if you play a very good offense, you're going to win some and you're going to lose some. Sometimes the Patriots are going to drive to points because they're good on offense. They're the number one offense. That's what I've heard more than anything else this week. Number one offense against number one defense.
Plus, if you flip it, and I wrote a little bit about this, strength versus strength. Okay, say they completely wash each other out.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle's defense is as good as you possibly can believe it could be against the Patriots, and those two just wipe each other out. Slug it, fight. Well, what about the other two portions of the game? And I think you look at Russell Wilson and they are a bad offense. They're the 31st or whatever. You know, the Patriots have the worst passing defense. I have more confidence in the Patriots pass defense, Patriots run defense than I do against Russell Wilson throwing it or Marshawn Lynch running it down Will Fork, Spikes, Mayo's throat. So if you boil it all down to that, I still feel better about
Patriots. Yeah, and I don't know about yards. Like, maybe they give up yards, but there are going to be turnovers in this game from Seattle's side. I think the Patriots have turned it over so far this season. Defensively, they forced turnovers. They haven't really turned it over offensively. And the Seahawks have had trouble with ball security between mostly interceptions from Russell Wilson. So I don't know.
More picks than touchdowns.
So
he's a young quarterback. That's what you're going to get.
I think that's sort of a given. And you're right. Wash out the rest of the stuff.
Who do you have more confidence in, the Seattle offense or the Patriots defense?
Yeah, it's an interesting question.
508-298-0398,
CA's Ticket Hotline. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com.
The part of it that sticks out to me is that...
You nodded on the radio, by the way. You
is the turnovers.
A little head nod.
I was giving him a little, your turn to go, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I tell you.
It's like Brady to Lloyd. They do those little hand motions.
I don't know. I don't know exactly.
So half the time Paul will get it and half the time he won't? Because that's what Brady to Lloyd is.
That is exactly what I meant. My messages are always right. Whether you guys get them or not, I don't know.
You know, the whole notion of, protect the football, isn't that always the case? Yeah, you never want to turn the ball over, but there are some games that it won't matter. This game, to me, it will matter. You know, I don't think Seattle can beat anyone in this league if they don't force turnovers. And if they do play the game that way, like they did against Dallas, for example, you know, they block a punt for a touchdown or return a kick, you know, 80-some-odd yards, that gets you in the game. Those are the kinds of game-changing plays that they have to win games. If the Patriots don't do that, Andy's key to the game was big plays. Don't give them any big plays.
True.
Those are, you know, block punt, long kickoff return, forcing the turnover, to give them a short field. Those
refs
are the big,
making the wrong call.
Those are the big plays. No.
Plus, you know, and how Pete will get if his team gets a big play.
If they don't, if they don't, you know, Buffalo got big plays, it didn't matter. This team, if Seattle's defense can force two turnovers and then make you punt three times, all of a sudden the Patriots might be under 20 and Seattle can win. Whereas Buffalo, it didn't matter. They turned it over a couple of times, but the other nine times they scored touchdowns. They couldn't force any punts. They couldn't do anything.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, here on Patriots.com. You can get in touch 508-298-0398 or email us webradio at Patriots.com. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. A Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. Checking the emails, Maurice writes in from Alabama.
Mo!
Guys, do you think we'll see the Patriots take more shots downfield with 6'4 corners like Brandon Browner and Brady looking to stretch the field or risk throwing interceptions?
Well, it's interesting because they do have the tall corners and, you know, listening to Mike Lombardi this week just rave about tall corners and he'd rather have the tall corner who runs the 4.5 than the shorter corner who runs the 4.4 and the length and everything. But Danny O'Neill did say they like to have the single high safety. And Brady's going to see that, and I think he's going to take some shots at it with his guy Brandon Lloyd down the field. Maybe with his guy Rob Gronkowski, who's sort of been their deep threat all year. They've taken some throws over the top. So, yeah, if they have one deep safety, Brady will take some chances with somebody to try to challenge that. No doubt in my mind.
Oh, that was the nod.
You had nothing
he
to follow
nodded
up there.
Again on the radio.
That was the nod.
Sean Green just went in, by the way, again for the Jets. They are crushing Indianapolis. Check the emails, webradio, patriots.com. That is where...
Your fantasy update for all you Sean Green owners.
Did you guys see the disgusting Tim Tebow play?
No.
What happened?
Sickening.
What happened?
Fake punt. They snapped it to him. He threw a pass.
Oh, I didn't realize he threw that ball.
He threw a pass that a Belmore? 4-year-old could have thrown, and they got the first down.
That's 3-for-3 on fake punts this year for the Jets.
You'd think somebody on the defense would say, watch the fake.
Absolutely.
His receivers had a big drop last week. I will say
that's
that.
Being a jackass.
Against the Texans.
A quick update from Eric. He always likes to keep us in the feel of what's going on in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
Only in Seattle, CenturyLink field staff offer press box seat delivery of custom brewed lattes.
I thought he was going to say something about sushi. That was what I felt coming on there, but I guess not.
Some of that Pike Street fish.
Yeah.
The market.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of cool to go down there.
I got another one.
Yeah.
F Start Fitness says, how big a role do you think Hernandez play tonight? Paul, you want to handle that one?
And I'm the a-hole, by the way.
Today, Junior!
I think he is a complimentary part at best today. That's my feeling. Okay. I'm a little surprised that he's even playing.
Me too.
So how about this? Here's a better way of putting
it.
Gronkowski. Gronkowski, we know the snaps he should see. Maybe he'll get a series off or something along those lines. Who sees more snaps, Hernandez or Fells? We know Omanawinui is out.
I'm going to say Fells.
Yeah, I will. Well, no, I'm going to go with Hernandez because I don't think they're going to run as much.
And I think Fells will be on the field with Gronk sometimes. I think Fells will be on the field with Hernandez sometimes. Therefore, we see more snaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hernandez.
I think Hernandez.
Who gives a rat's ass?
I think Hernandez being active.
I am not allowing snap counts to seep into the important stats of football. I know all these people like to add them up. I don't care. Who's more productive?
How come I get yelled at when I do that?
That's very rude.
Phone calls. At a guy on the phone.
Phone calls go to 508.
Started you yelling at me.
298-039.
Shut up.
Your emails
twice.
Go to webradio at patriots.com. We'll let these guys work things out, and we'll also head up to the press box next here on patriots.com.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now.
Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriot season ticket holder? Join the Patriot season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriot season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Getting sick of listening to Andy Hart?
If Numbnut in there were paying attention.
Well, we are too. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 and be heard. Or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the man who never stops talking.
This is what you guys always do. You change my argument and put words in my mouth.
Andy Hart.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. Now, that said, you never shut your mouth, you never stop talking is basically what's going on, but basically it's just food central over here. We got bagel going down, maybe a donut.
It takes a little longer to eat a bagel, I noticed. The donuts you can plow through, they really break up quickly.
They're a little chewier. You really gotta really nosh through those things.
Although I saw the thing, they're coming out with like bagel bites at Dunkin' Donuts, bagel holes. Right. Bunchkins, I think they might call them. Mm. Bagel bunchkins.
Not the bagel twists. Not to be confused with the bagel twists. Ah.
More like a hole.
Family.
How's your hole?
You like a good hole every once and then. Time to announce our winner, by the way. To push your workout limit, you need headphones that can keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering acclaimed Bose sound, sweat, and weather resistance. A comfortably secure and exclusive Reebok fitness armband. You demand more from your workout. Shouldn't you demand more from your headphones as well? Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And our winner today, Tim Larned from Jeffersonville, Vermont, God's country up there, is our winner. So congratulations on that. We'll be doing these each and every week. So stay tuned next week during the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. You have a chance at winning a set of headphones. Watch.
When he's out harvesting the maple syrup, he'll have some Bose pumping through his ear.
Bose.
I do know Jeffersonville well.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What's there?
There is a place, I'm trying to remember the name of it. I'll come up with it. I think it's called Hannah's Cupboard, something along those lines.
Is it Bear?
Wonderful wonderful raps there. Wonderful raps.
Very, raps. Did very, Bobby V?
Very Vermonty raps, yeah. That's what I would say. Very crunchy Vermonty raps.
But you clearly didn't go there just for a rap.
No, no, no. We used to, so I went to a high school out
oh,
in the sticks.
Oh, he's from Vermont.
I went to a high school out in the sticks, and all of our games were in Burlington, and we would always stop there. That was how we rolled.
Okay. Eric just wanted to say that Hernandez makes his first appearance on the game field, running with a good bounce in his step as he begins to warm up.
Okay.
I like to look for a bounce for a step, or bounce at a step when you're looking for a guy out there. We will check in with Eric. We'll head up to the press box momentarily, coming up here in about 15 minutes. We'll also get to our six-pack in about 5 minutes. Let's do a few emails here. Web radio.
He's like SportsCenter. He's
at Patriots.com.
Yeah.
That's where Maria writes in. That's actually what I have.
What's
where Maria writes
last
in.
Name?
You're a bad person.
Edickson? Edickson?
How do you spell that?
Edickson? E-D-I-C-K-S-O-N? Edickson is what it is. Emails go to webradiopatriots.com.
We have definitely removed the ESPN filter from Pac-Man.
No longer can...
He's now choosing to say the word dick in the middle of a name.
No longer can Pac-Man be accused of being milk toast.
It's the name. It's the name. Due to the low depth for linebackers today, do you see Ninkovic move to that position? And who would that give more space to, or would that give more space, rather, for Cunningham?
Well, I think if Ninkovic changes position, I don't think it's going to lead to more space for Cunningham. I think it's going to lead to maybe a little bit of a different alignment today. I think you could see some three-man fronts. I think you could see some 3-4 with Jones and Ninkovic acting as outside linebackers and Spikes and Mayo inside, and you have some combination of Will Fork with maybe Love and a guy like Brandon Dederick up front, in some capacity. I'm not saying that will happen. I just think it's a possibility based on Hightower being out and your lack of depth.
So you don't see the 4-3 with Cunningham at left defensive end, Ninko just bumping back to linebacker?
That could happen too, but I don't think it will. I think if they change, I think it's going to be I think you're going to see a bigger front. I don't think Cunningham gives them the size up front that they necessarily want, but you know what? Cunningham did a decent job as a rookie, I thought, against the run.
You could also just play Dedrick there without going to anything else.
Sure.
They've had Dedrick in four-man fronts.
Yep, absolutely. And he's a guy that can play. I mean, that's part of that versatility that they like. He's a guy that can play as a 3-4 end or a 4-3 end or tackle. And he's performed in some of those roles. He's a guy we don't talk about a lot, but he's a pretty versatile guy and might be able to give them something.
We'll let Andy Hart finish chewing while I read this next email here. It's from your guy, Al, in Italy.
Fat Al, he goes by.
Guys,
I like to call him Astute Al.
ESPN made
Stop
a big
saying
deal.
More spaghetti, you won't be so fat, Al.
ESPN made a big deal about Welker. Is Welker in trouble? And he's right, by the way. I caught this morning with Chris Carter yelling about not
ESPN
wanting to take away his money.
Made a big deal about something? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't believe it.
In fairness, we talked about it as well. I don't know how big of a deal we made about it, but we talked about it. Are ESPN pregame personalities a bunch of boobs? Question number one. Statement number one. Less Andy and more Paul. And then bye.
Yes. I do think that there's... I don't really appreciate much of the analysis of those ESPN pregame guys. I don't think there's a whole lot there. Now, listen, a national pregame show like that where they have to sort of delve into a lot of different teams, when they're doing your team, you're not getting a lot that you don't know. They can't go into it more in depth than what you're going to get here in the
Certainly
Patriots
Certainly not
pregame
this program,
social.
Yeah, I was going to say. Not less than this, or more than this, right?
So that is a big part of it.
What a ugly play in the Kansas City game. Sorry.
Blocked punt. The punter ran back, picked it up, tried to throw it, picked off, touchdown.
You know what? That wouldn't happen to the Jets. I can tell you that right now. Tebow would have slung that thing down the field. Anyway, what do you got?
The ESPN pregame show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of...
Can you do that? Can you throw after a block?
I don't think so. Chris Carter...
I was just
and
watching
guys,
it, and I'm like, I don't think that's legal.
That was a heinously bad play.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the analysis that you get from those guys.
He's right, though. This is no longer just a New England thing. This was like a good 5 minutes they were spending on... Is Wes Welker? Mike Ditka said he's on his way out of New England, which I think is overstating.
To me, he's the worst out of all of them because not only I think he's a little old and's kind of losing it a little bit, and mm-hmm. I don't think he never says anything of any value to me. I know that's harsh, but I just am not a big fan of Mike Ditka. Andy likes Ditka, but I'm not a big
minus
fan.
The,
I don't think he's entertaining.
Cup.
I don't think he's informative. And he just starts like, and I'll turn around and. He just, like, stops his sentences, like, in the middle. I don't
you respect your elders?
Guy was a
give me something to respect.
Guy was a good tight end.
Guy was a great tight end.
Hall of Fame tight end.
And a Super Bowl winning coach. What have you done in life?
Nothing.
Also inspired quite the parody on Saturday Night Live.
That too.
Let's continue with the emails. Kramer.
I work for Patriots Football Weekly. I've done nothing.
Writes into Web Radio.
I agree.
At Patriots.com. There it is. It's Kyle Rogers. I don't know who he's referencing there. Okay, so McCourty has been in somewhat of a slump of late. Do you think his game will help improve his confidence, or this game will help improve his confidence? He's been getting back to his old self, but not 100% there. What do you think will be McCourty's biggest struggles today? By the way,
defending the receiver in front of
Danny Rice.
I think I actually said last week that it's been a bit of a bounce back from McCourty. I'd like to amend that after what we saw last week. But what do you think his biggest struggle is today? You say Sidney Rice, Paul?
Sidney Rice is he's a big-time outside receiver. Health has always been an issue with him, but he can make plays. And Andy's thing for this game is they need to take some shots, Seattle. And I wonder if, you know, they try to get Sidney Rice isolated on McCourty and try to get him deep and see if they could take advantage. But that's absolutely a challenge. Sidney Rice is a good player.
According to Eric Scalavino, Hernandez really testing the right ankle with hard cuts on pass routes. Looks very good. No trace of a limp thus far.
All right, we will check in with Eric coming up here in about 10 minutes. Let's
look forward to that.
Get back to the phone calls. 508-298-0398. The emails to the web radio at Patriots.com. Let's look around the rest of the NFL.
Friday night.
And do our weekly six-pack.
Nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Adam pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday Six Pack.
All right, do it every week, each and every week at this time. We pick six games from around the NFL. There's only six counting the Patriots game, so we're going to have to lump in the Patriots game this week. We normally pick it earlier in the program. Matt LaPan, who's back there answering phones. Has he done a better job this week than Kevin Collins? Do we have our results from last week on how we did on the weekly six-pack? We'll get to that momentarily.
I'm guessing no.
But he's really answering a lot of phones back there. Really blowing up, apparently. Do we have the results from the picks last week there, LaPan?
No.
No results. All right.
Oh, no, wait. Yes, we do.
I was going to say.
You were undefeated. Last week, undefeated.
I think Andy was undefeated, too, wasn't he?
No.
No? Oh, sorry.
Andy going the opposite way.
No, that's not true.
I don't think that's right, because we had...
I was like 4-0 or something at one point.
Let me double-check these real quick, and I'll get back to you.
All right. Well, what's our first game, LaPan?
First game is New England-Seattle, New England giving 3.5.
Which we've worked our way through.
I'll give the 3.5, absolutely. I think the Patriots win a lower-scoring game for them, but they win this one pretty easily, and they cover the 3.5.
Me too.
I think we're all in agreement on that one.
I used to say 30-20 was a general Patriots game. Before you know anything else, just start out, it's going to be 30-something, 20-something. Mm-hmm. This one's like 20-something, 10-something.
See, that's sort of what I think, like 24-10, something like that.
24-13 is
what I've
been
That sort
with.
Of feels like the game.
In that area.
So we're all taking the Patriots to cover that 3.5-point spread in Seattle, despite the noise, at CenturyLink Field. What's our next game there, LaPan?
Really got a hair
next
across
game
your
is unbelievable. Buffalo at Arizona. Arizona giving up 5.5.
I don't love this pick, but this is my upset special. I think the Bills are going to shock the world. I just think that the Cardinals are so limited offensively that they have a chance to lose a game like this at home against a bad team. I think Buffalo has to be completely humiliated with what happened to them the last 2 weeks. I think they pull off an upset in this game. I really have no other reason other than pure embarrassment that the Bills have been going through. I'll take the points.
I can't take a team that just bent over and let two teams in a row just absolutely pound the hell out of them. I have no respect
for
what they've done.
They only allowed 600 yards last week.
I just, 1,200 yards in 2 weeks. Everything that they've done, go screw yourself, Bills. You started the year thinking you deserve to be in the same sentence as the Patriots. You deserve to be in the same sentence with the 0-16 teams of the past, like
so,
the Detroit Lions.
I'm with Paul on this one. I think I don't know if Buffalo wins, but I do think they cover that spread. I think everyone's so down on Buffalo. Before the year, we would have called this a toss-up game. I know it's in Arizona. I'm going to go with the Bills to cover. What's our next game, Matt?
Next game, rematch of the NFC Championship game. New York Giants at San Francisco. San Francisco giving 7.
I think this is too many points. I think these are two good teams. I like San Francisco to win the game, but I'll take the 7.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me. My first inclination is to agree with Paul.
But?
But
I am not going to, because I once had a teacher that said, always go with your first inclination, and I didn't care for her tone, so I'm going the other way. I'm going to overthink it. I'm taking San Francisco to win and cover.
So I have the same thought process as both of you guys, except I'm not going to second-guess myself. I'm going to go with the Giants. I think it's too big of a number in San Francisco. Wouldn't be surprised in the least if the Niners won, but not by a touchdown.
Minnesota at Washington, Minnesota giving up two.
I'll take the Redskins at home. I think RG3 comes back and plays, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. He's gonna play, and I'm not buying the Vikings yet. They've been impressive so far, 4-1. I think they've had a lot of good spots, so to speak, a couple of fortunate wins with some big plays at fortuitous times. But I'm not believing yet in Minnesota, and I don't. This is the kind of game that a good team goes on the road and wins, and I'm not sure Minnesota's a good team yet.
I'm not sure they're a good team either, but I do think they're going to go on the road and win. I think Jared Allen will get after RG3, not allow him to get comfortable, just wonder where his head is at, literally and figuratively, coming off the injury. But also, as a young guy, now you got banged around a little bit, and you have one of the premier rushers coming after you that day. I think that's an interesting dilemma for him to sort of face on the field. And Minnesota's been solid. And that Chad Greenway's been running around making plays. I think that defense is pretty good, and I think they're going to do enough to allow that team to get a good road win.
I'm still down on Minnesota as well, but this will be the last week, at least against another garbage team. If this game were in Minnesota, I would be taking the Vikings. The fact that it's in Washington, I still want to see if they can go in, win on the road. You're right, Andy. They were impressive last week. They ran away last week. I got to see it one more week before I fully trust them. So I'm going to go with Washington as well. What's next, Matt?
Green Bay at Houston. Houston giving four.
It's an interesting game. I'm not necessarily buying Houston as an upper echelon team just yet. I'm impressed with the Texans. I think they have some ability. This is a spot that they're not used to, though. The Patriots are always among the best teams in football. Houston, this is new territory. Green Bay, 2-3, desperate. Super Bowl aspirations. I'm going to take Green Bay here. I'm going to take the points.
I am not going to take the points. Paul's thing is, the thing that's stuck in Paul's head is what a good team is, and I agree with him. Houston is not traditionally a good to very great team.
I think Houston's a good team.
I think in this NFL, they're a great team. They can play defense, they can throw the ball a little bit, and they can run the ball. That is what constitutes a great team in this NFL. There are so very few teams that can do that even. And I do think they are going to have some fun getting after Aaron Rodgers. We all know that they have a pretty relentless pass rush. We saw what Seattle did to Aaron Rodgers. I think Houston gets this done. Does not mean they're going to win the Super Bowl. Does not mean that they are some, you know, great team for the last 10 years, but they're one of the best teams in football right now.
Yeah, look, I don't think they're the best team. I do think the Niners have been better, you know, by what they've shown, even with a loss. I do think Houston's good enough to beat Green Bay by four. And it really has less to do with Houston. I'm just down on Green Bay at this point. I'm not sure I believe in them bouncing back in a big spot and winning one of these games.
Some infighting with Rodgers.
Honestly, it's less about Houston for me and more about Green Bay. I'll take Houston to cover. What's our last one, Matt?
Monday Night Football, Denver at San Diego. And San Diego giving 1.5.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
San Diego favored by 1.5.
Yes, I'm going to take Denver in this game. I was impressed with Manning last week. He looked, closer to the Manning I remember than I was kind of anticipating. I thought there was going to be some more throws that I would say, wow, that you could see it there, and I didn't see that all that often. I think their defense is shaky, the Broncos, but I'm not overly thrilled with San Diego yet, and I think the Broncos go on the road and get a big win.
I agree. I think the Broncos and Manning, I think, was sort of voicing some of this. Sick of their moral victories so far this year. They've played a tough schedule. This is not an easy game by any means, going on the road and taking on the Chargers in San Diego. But I do think that they're going to get this done and maybe get on a little roll here, because I think they are good enough in that division to get on a little bit of a roll.
I got to tell you, I think it's the easiest game out of all of our picks. I'm going Denver as well. And I don't see why this is 1.5. I'm not sold on San Diego one bit. I think Denver's looked pretty good, and they played a difficult schedule. I'll take Denver as well there in a clean sweep from the three of us. There's our weekly six-pack here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart and Paul Perillo here on Patriots.com. Let's hit the phones. 508-298-0398. That's where Chris dials us up from Arizona. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Looking forward to a big game.
Heck, yeah. I'm very intrigued by this game, and obviously a big part of that is the Seattle defense. Are they for real? And what will the Patriots do if they get smacked in the mouth a little bit here on offense?
Easy, Andy. Pac-Man's going to yell at you.
Yeah, I know.
About what? I'm sorry.
Andy's interested in seeing how the Seattle defense is going to play.
I know especially you, in front of that loud crowd.
That bothers you.
I think, honestly, I mean, you know, they can probably come at them on the outside. I think there's an area in the middle there that they can exploit. You know, hopefully Welker isn't going to be sitting for too long, and, you know, I think maybe Woodhead might even have a breakout game.
When you say Welker isn't sitting for too long, are you expecting some sort of benching or whatever, some punishment from his comments? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. I mean, I hope that he does, that Bill doesn't do it, but let's face it, he did it in a playoff game, so, you know, if he wants to make a point.
Would you support that?
To make a point in.
If Wes Welker were, say, benched for a series or two series or something, would you support that as a fan? Do you think it's warranted?
I don't. Personally, I think that Wes is a pretty funny guy, and like I said, I think it was actually meant in humor, but we all know that Bill likes to keep things in-house, so...
I absolutely agree with you that it was meant in humor, and I don't think it's a big deal, and I think Bill will take it that way. And, you know, Greg Bedard says they now have, quote-unquote, an understanding. I have an understanding, too. Uh-oh. I have an understanding that Wes Welker's thinking a little bit about stuff like this because, you know, the question wasn't like, you know, did you show something to Bill today so he won't, you know, keep you on the bench anymore? There was no Bill involved with the question.
Correct.
And he brought up the Bill aspect of it, so that to me means... Yeah, Bill showed you.
See, I view it the same way too. It's like I think he was joking,
100%.
But
there was a it was
there's
a
something
serious
to it.
Joke.
There's yes. something to it.
Well, you know, that old cliche. There is some truth in every joke. There is some sliver of truth somewhere in every joke.
Right.
And I think there's an aspect of this that he brought up Bill, and it was just a little jab at him. Yeah, bench me again, huh? Bench me again.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was some seriousness to the joke.
Ooh,
now,
on Underwood.
I don't think it's going to lead to a benching. I don't. I talked about at the beginning of the show. I think there is a little bit of a difference when you're talking about somebody else's coach and you say, we can't do that, as opposed to you show thick skin and you show your players that, hey, you know, we can do that here. I'd rather you not do it publicly, but I'm not, you know, it's not going to cost you playing time. And
I feel a little bit of the major league coach there in there, though. Like Bill's like, yeah, that was funny.
Don't ever do it again.
we are all in agreement. I don't think we see it affect Welker's playing time today.
But fans are clearly expecting it.
It's clearly an option.
I mean,
I think there's a big difference between this and the one in with the Jets. I think there's a big difference.
Well,
and I didn't agree with the benching against the Jets.
No.
So take that for what it's worth.
But, you know, the fact that we've seen it before, I do think leads fans to at least wonder about it. And I do think it's much more likely that we see a reduction in Welker's playing time today than we do in Brandon Spikes' playing time, if it were going to be either or. But I don't think that's going to be the case with either of them. 508.
Quick tweet from Greg Bedard. I just wanted to balance out Eric's coverage with, he was asked how Hernandez looks. Not terrible. Seems pretty unsure of the ankle. Testing it a lot.
All right, well, speaking
of... A little different than the spin Eric had for
well,
us.
We're going to check in with Eric. Let's head up to the press box right now.
Studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
All right, joining us from Seattle, Eric Scalavino, Patriots.com, here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Eric, we know the inactives for the New England Patriots. Aaron Hernandez is active. What'd you see from him here today in warmups?
I saw very good things. He's been running a lot of routes, cutting extremely hard, doing multiple cuts, as you know, that's his thing. He likes to catch the ball and then immediately cut to get by the defense. He was doing a lot of that and looked absolutely fine to me. And he was doing it for the past 20 minutes or so and didn't look to have any problems whatsoever.
So what is your expectation on his role today for this offense?
Well, that said, I don't know if they're going to just throw him right out there and make him, you know, a centerpiece of the game plan. I still think they might want to slowly reintroduce him today. But, I mean, that's just a gut feeling. I'm not basing that on anything I saw in warm-ups because, you know, he got plenty of run in the warm-ups. But, I don't know, something just told me that with an injury like that, you might not want to go too hard with him on his first day back.
Go ahead, Andy. I'm sorry.
More intriguing to me is the other side of the football. We've been talking about defense, lineups, injuries, Hightower out, you know, some speculation. Could they go 3-4 because they don't have a lot of depth? Or, you know, could Cunningham just bump to end with Ninkovich going over to linebacker? Have you seen anything, first of all, in pregame warmups that would lead you to believe anything in that area? And if not, maybe what's your inclination just being there?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's they only have four healthy, true linebackers, Mayo Spikes, Kudavides, and Bobby Carpenter. And when they went to their team warm-ups against the offense, they were in their natural base 4-3, and Bobby Carpenter was taking Hightower's spot on the Sam. So it looks like, based on just that, and they ran several plays with that look, they're going to stick with their base defense. And, you know, because I really don't think they can go back to 3-4 too much, because, I mean, we've seen this year, you mentioned Jermaine Cunningham. He's gone now from being a defensive end slash, you know, outside linebacker to a defensive end slash defensive tackle in a lot of their packages, where they just like to rush, kind of like the Giants do with that NASCAR defense that they have.
Right.
So I don't know if it'll be that easy for them to just revert back to their old ways. I think they're going to have to stick with what they've got and just try to get pressure the way they have been with two defensive ends, whether that's Ninkovich and Jones or, you know, Cunningham coming in and replacing, say, a Kyle Love or, you know, however they do it. But it looks to me like they're going to go 4-3, and Bobby Carpenter is going to be in the Sam role.
Interesting. And I do think personnel-wise, most of these guys have the experience in the 3-4, so, you know, a couple days of practice, I certainly think they could do it. But it will be interesting to watch how it unfolds. One thing that I'm wondering what you've seen from is just the look of the Seattle defense. You know, I obviously came away from watching that Monday night game just raving about their speed and their swarming to the football. You know, they have those massive defensive backs where, like, everybody's over 6 foot, 200 plus pounds. Cam Chancellor's built like a linebacker. Kind of just first impressions of that watching them warm up.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it right there. They look really big and they look pretty quick all around. I mean, that's from the front seven all the way back. But again, I think they were holding back a little bit in warm-ups because, you know, they're only going against their offense and it's just a two-hand touch kind of thing. But they are noticeably big, even from up here. I'm down on the when you watch the television screen, we're going to be on the right-hand side down there about the five-yard line. And I had a good look at the Seattle team's warm-up because this was the end where they were warming up. And, they so far look as advertised.
How about the Patriots secondary, Eric? What have you – I mean, I know we – have an idea of who's starting, but some of those nickel and dime roles have been evolving the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Sterling Moore, you know, Rossi Dowling, Alfonso Dennard.
They bumped Moore back to safety along with Nate Ebner when they did their second team stuff. And then when they did, you know, nickel things, we did see a lot more Rossi Dowling in those few warm-ups. Again, you only get, like, if you're lucky, like a half dozen plays where they run against the defense, and you can actually see, you know, a first team look. But yeah, Dowling was getting some run in warmups much more than I've seen in previous recent warmups.
Last question for me, and John Dennis style will be a two part question.
Don't use contractions. You have to be
first,
like John Dennis.
What how was your latte? Be? Second,
is there some bickering? Is there some bickering, lingering bickering going on?
No, don't you worry about it. How was your latte, and how's that Globo Green?
Well, I didn't
that
get the latte, but Fred Kirsch and Aaron Sulkin from PR both did, and Fred was taunting me with his because it looked so good. He actually had a donut to go along with it, so he was.
I thought he didn't eat donuts. He told me he doesn't eat donuts.
Well, he did today. He had a chocolate covered glaze with some sprinkles on it, and it looked like it was pretty good. He's smirking right now in disgust.
Hear him getting fatter.
And so far, the green glove has held off. We still have dry conditions, but the radar looked like there was it was. They gave us 94% chance of showers.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Hours, so.
There's a chance it might not rain.
we're gonna get some weather in this game. It's just how strongly it is remains to be seen. Because yesterday they predicted the same kind of thing, and we basically just had like little spitting type rain here and there throughout the day. It was actually very comfortable around here, and so far it's looked to be the same kind of thing. I will say though that the flags on the goalposts right now are just hanging limp, but there are team flags on the, you know, the end zone where you can see the skyline in the background. There's sort of like a pyramid shaped seating arrangement there. There are team flags all up and down those, and those are whipping pretty hard in the wind right now. So kind of a little bizarre circulation, the way this where the stadium is designed.
Speaking of hanging limp, there's an internet photo making the rounds of you speaking with a woman at last night's Spitfire engagement. Did you have any fun with any lady fans?
Yeah, there were quite a few fans there, but we weren't there all that long, so.
What, you have a better thing to get to?
What's that?
You have a better engagement to get to?
It's a wham bam, thank you ma'am kind of guy.
Were you looking at the spindle?
You know what, guys? You know, it's a long way away from Seattle. I think we're kind of breaking up on this connection here. So
yeah, because you the phallic symbol that is Seattle.
Did you just call the space needle
spindle? Space needle, whatever it's called. All right, see ya.
All right, Eric calling us from Seattle. I didn't even know that's what you were referring to. Like, when he said spindle, I just had no idea.
I had no idea either.
I think I just contracted space needle into spindle.
John Dennis would never do such a thing. One more email here. Web Radio.
I'm not drunk, so I couldn't talk like him.
One more email to Web Radio.
That's Andy Hart. He was a well-known drunk.
Hart, Andy. Kick your balls up around your ears. The Fox writes in from New Mexico.
Hard or
this
hurt
is on
or
this,
head.
Writes in from New Mexico, and this is on the space shuttle, or the space jump rather, landing in his backyard. Yep, the International Spaceport is about 12 miles from my airport.
See?
My apartment rather. There's always missiles and fighter jet exercises going on around here, so we're pretty jaded. Plus, I'm a 30 something, much less impressive jumps of my own, and got to spend some time with the Golden Knights, who do some pretty phenomenal jumps in their own right.
It's going to be kind of loud if they're doing all kinds of missile stuff like 12 miles away.
Isn't it just like UFOs whizzing around down there?
Yeah.
That's what I would be.
UFO.
And then they go, nothing to see here. Don't
that's
worry about it. Move on.
Worried about living down in New Mexico. Anyway, that'll do it for us here on the Nugget Donuts Patriots pregame social. We all expect the Patriots to cover here pretty easily against Seattle as the Patriots we
expect.
As the
week has gone on, I think the game is going to be easier. I originally thought kind of the low scoring, 24-3. I think it's even going to be easier than
honestly,
that.
I just hope we can hear the announcers on the broadcast today because of how loud this stadium is. That's what I'm rooting
such
for.
Such a DB.
Kickoff
it's
coming
beyond,
up here.
It's unbelievable.
Kickoff coming up here in about 15 minutes. I will talk to you after on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show right here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Seattle Seahawks.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks and fires to the right, and it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Speed all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.